Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. There is a very strange gradient in the Washington, D.C. area. It's a biological and cultural gradient. It runs from the almost entirely black sections of Northwest Washington, where filth abounds and boarded-up, falling-apart crack houses alternate with liquor outlets and beauty supply stores, through Bethesda and nearby Montgomery County, Maryland, where the Jewish governmental elite and middle management live, jam-packed with synagogues, temples, Jewish organizational headquarters, late-model Mercedes, tacky and not-so-tacky multi-million-dollar houses, and a Jewish community center larger than some small cities. The two ends of the gradient are very different. I've been there and experienced both. But there's no real boundary. There's a lot of overlap, and sometimes that makes things interesting. 2 weeks ago, a Jew named Seth Rich was walking alone on the streets of Northwest D.C. at 4:20 in the morning. He lived nearby. It was a neighborhood where well-off whites and Jews are starting to move in and beginning to displace poor blacks. Seth Rich was not only a Jew, but he was a particularly virulent example of the breed. A Democratic Party operative whose passions were disarming white Americans and organizing blacks into Democrat cadres and making sure they voted, and voted correctly and often, on election days. This is called working for voting rights in today's newspeak. That morning's walk was Seth Rich's last walk anywhere. He was fatally shot multiple times by an unknown assailant and left on the street in a pool of his own blood. And in Washington, D.C., when white-appearing people are shot in the streets by unknown assailants, those unknown assailants are almost invariably black. It is a virtual certainty that Seth Rich was shot dead by one of the beloved African-American equals he was working to empower and help by registering them to vote, making sure they were conscious and had some helpful transportation and instruction on election day, and the like. One of the equals whose vote would cancel out yet another vote of the hated whites. Seth Rich, to a seasoned observer, looked quite Jewish, of the puffy-faced, tiny-eyed, freely perspiring blonde type. But he cleaned up well. When dressed for business, well-shaven and combed, he probably looked pretty white even to whites, and in the dim lights of O Dark 30, Northwest D.C., feral Congoids seldom make such fine distinctions. Not much beyond, "Let's get that white motherfucker." True, the killer has not been caught, but he is almost certainly black. Rich was walking in an overwhelmingly black section of an overwhelmingly black city, a city where almost all of the shootings are committed by blacks. I would estimate that the chances that Rich's killer is black are well in excess of 99%. It's also interesting to note that the D.C. Water Department apologized after the killing for its current construction and repairs in the area because its noise shields, temporary walls, and earth-moving equipment provided, quote, dark spaces, unquote, where dark animals can hide while they lie in wait for their prey. What kind of society are we living in, where the mere presence of shade and shadows can be blamed for murders and assaults. The DC police are offering a $25,000 reward for information on Rich's killer or killers, about whom they have not even a single clue, which is typical, really, of the incompetent, jaded, and racially mixed force in that sad, murder-happy capital city of the Jews' evil empire. The Seth Rich killing has spawned a number of conspiracy theories. One theory says that Rich was going to be called to testify in court about Hillary Clinton's unsecured email server. Another says that he was about to expose massive voter fraud in the Democratic primaries, effectively stealing the nomination from Bernie Sanders. Both theories imply that Rich was yet another in the long line of dead witnesses whose hearts stopped beating just before their mouths were opened to testify against Bill or Hillary. But there's no evidence that Rich had been called to testify anywhere, nor that he was preparing to come out as a whistleblower. This is all just rank speculation, and probably purposeful disinformation of the type which is all too common in election years in our noble democracy. What we do know is this. Rich's arms and knees were bruised, indicating that there was a struggle, or at least that he was knocked to the ground and beaten before he died. Neither his phone, nor his expensive watch, nor his wallet were taken, which seems odd, and which has encouraged some of the more conspiratorially minded to assert that this was a political hit and not a botched robbery. But it's really not so odd when you consider that a police patrol was close enough to hear the shots and responded immediately, and that Congoid killers are better known for high-speed flight than they are for bravery. We also don't know that Rich wasn't carrying other things of value that were stolen. Like so many Semites, Rich was also relatively tasteless and had no sense of restraint, as evidenced by the clown-like Stars and Stripes suit in which he recently allowed himself to be photographed. He was also not especially intelligent, as evidenced by his vapid political blathering on the internet, which included such gems as, quote, "We have to be better and defend each other more true. A life is exponentially valuable. I have family and friends on both sides of the law," close quote. That Semitic lack of restraint is a general, not a particular, psychological quality. That is, it applies to a lot more than just clothing. Jews, as a rule, even the most politically liberal, pro-multicultural ones, do not actually believe their own lies about the equality of races, Black Lives Matter, and all the rest of it. For almost 20 years, I worked daily among media Jews in the broadcasting business in the Washington, D.C. area. I know that they have contempt for the blacks whom they publicly praise and for whom they express deep concern for their civil rights. When among friends, they acknowledge the low intelligence of blacks and call them Schwarzes or Schwarzers, as in the often heard phrase among them, "They're just Schwarzes," which means, literally, blacks, but is really the Yiddish equivalent of the word nigger, with all the disdain and dislike that that implies. So I doubt that Seth Rich had too many illusions about the angelic qualities of the Negroes he was helping. His choices, his choice to live in that neighborhood, and his choice to walk alone on its streets in the hours just before dawn, are probably more reflective of Jewish assertiveness and over-the-top lack of restraint than they are of any real belief in racial equality, a pathology that is almost limited to whites. Nevertheless, the blacks who likely killed him would not have cared that he was really Jewish and a fellow fighter against white racism, and they certainly never bothered to ask. They never do. I am a peaceful man, and I dislike violence and killing. The rawness of the racial hate created by multiracialism repels me almost as much as does the genocide by racial mixing, which it also brings. I have devoted my life to preventing such violence and conflict and death by working to educate my people about the absolute necessity and morality of racial separation. But the Seth Riches of this world have worked to oppose me. I cannot applaud what happened, but it was inevitable. As director of voter outreach for the DNC, Seth Rich was in the business of creating deadly weapons aimed at white people's lives, and he was caught in a crossfire of his own making. Almost exactly 1 year ago, another such killing happened in the Washington, D.C. area, when a violent, out-of-control black, Jasper Spires, knifed Kevin Sutherland to death on a metro train. Sutherland was a politically connected, liberal, anti-racist activist too, though a non-Jewish, true-believing one. I am afraid that many more will die in like manner before our majority of will and determination sweeps away this rotten system and its lies. We racially conscious whites did what we could to stop the Jewish takeover and subversion of our old order. I hope we did our best. If we had prevailed then, many, many lives would have been saved. As it is, the blood of those who are dying now and those soon to die is upon the Jews' heads and upon the heads of the white collaborators who imposed the death cult of multiracialism on our civilization. And we must now look to the future, to the coming generations of our race. Let us shed a tear for the innocent victims, though remembering that not all are innocent. More than anything else, let us welcome the reassertion of nature, painful as that must sometimes be, with a faith in our hearts that she is always right. Her actions will awaken our folk and prepare the way for the growth of the National Alliance. And let us work every day of our lives to hasten the day when our new order will prevail over all. American Dissident Voices. Like nature, justice also reasserts itself from time to time. And in our dark age, it is a delight to get good news. Today, we received news that the illegitimate NARG Group's lawsuit, designed to turn over our National Alliance to a court-appointed receiver, has just been dismissed with prejudice, meaning that it cannot be reinstituted. The NARG Grouplet, which has recently joined with Jewish organizations and operatives in its efforts to destroy the National Alliance, will probably not stop its attempts to cash donations from the well-meaning dupes who send it money, But their lawsuit is now dead, dead, dead. Unless they can convince the Virginia Supreme Court to hear an appeal. A very unlikely outcome, especially considering the earlier ruling of the court that the grouplet had no standing to sue in the first place. National Alliance Chairman William White Williams wrote today, quote, "The NARG lawsuit against the National Alliance came to an abrupt close this afternoon in a Virginia courtroom when the judge dismissed the case with prejudice. It's over. The judge allowed that NARG has 30 days to appeal, but the consensus of our attorneys is that the Virginia Supreme Court is unlikely to even look at such a weak case. What will the NARG losers do now? Looks like they will back another bogus lawsuit, this one brought by John McLaughlin against the National Alliance a week ago." Close quote. But that lawsuit is a guaranteed loser, almost a cut-and-paste rehash of the failed suit by NARG, prepared by an associate of the NARG attorney, and adding the cloud cuckoo land delusional claim that the clueless McLaughlin is the chairman of the National Alliance. The addition of the NARG losers as allies can't help. The addition of the seriously deranged rantings of the SPLC's female asset and NARG ally course won't help either. Or perhaps I should say that these things will help the cause of justice. On some days, the sun just seems to shine brighter, and the air brings the scent of wildflowers from distant hills. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. You can join and support us by visiting natall.com. That's NATALL.com. Or write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to never give up.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood.